probably talk to Martin Luther King.
Now, this may get a little preachy.
Hey, Dr. Martin Luther King, how you doing?
Very well.
When you made your speech, were you deluded when you made that speech?
No, that wasn't my first speech. I was in the pulpit every Sunday. I tried to live the incarnate Word of God. I did everything I could to bring social justice. I pushed against and pushed against and pushed against till I decided that I had to lay this body down. My word, they tried to make a martyr out of me, and poor Perp Bernice is still trying to straighten out the SCLU, and she's having a trouble with it, too. That's my youngest girl. And they all fighting amongst themselves. Coretta was a pretty good stander trying to slow all this down because it was getting a little too hot. Too hot. You know, when they talk about the hot potato, and you bring this back to a place where it was a sinking up of individual humans, not black, not white, of coming into their power. That's what it was about. That you could take the Ananias and Sapphira and take it out of the whole temple process. That you could come into your place of power. That you didn't have to be less than. That you didn't have to be separate but equal. That you didn't even have to be separate. There was no separation, no rat in the separation. And the whole scriptures, and in Isaiah, running on the words of Isaiah, coming back all the way through Ezekiel, bringing you all the way through Job, that we have had the past, we have had the ability, we do have a capacity, we are equal to the task. We no longer have to be in the cotton fields. We no longer have to be the workers that are supposed to provide the rich man's way of pleasure. We can be that rich man. We can have a peace and sobriety within our whole world that we can now finally come in, that the world may know, was the message. That the world may know. That was the only message. That was the only essence of the dream state. That the dream would come into a place where all men could have the joy and the bliss that is eternal life. That the eternity that can now reach beyond the gaps and the less than places, that it could be a delicious, wonderful experience, that there had been no lack, no hunger, no poverty, no dissension within the realms of the godly world that is God's world. It's just that simple. You run around making everything hard. You run around putting yourself in bondage, and then you grumble because you're in bondage. This had nothing to do with supremacist, white, or otherwise. It was about how people put themselves in bondage. So, oh, but this isn't a new story. This is old. Egypt land. They was looking for Canaan. They was trying to find the promised land, and yet they got themselves into bondage, got themselves into slavery, sold themselves into slavery, and then tried to overcome it. Then they could overcome it, and they spent 40 years roaming around the desert to get to the promise that was their very own. And God fed them day and night. They followed the cloud of glory. They followed a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of glory by day, touched by the very essence of the center of the heart of God. And they had every dynamic corrected, and they stayed in that desert till everyone, all the naysayers, laid that body down. Not one of those naysayers went across the River Jordan into the promised land. Not one. They stayed in that desert until all them grumbling, griping, bitching, blowing, staking on, till they quit. Till they give up. Moses, I told you he was going to lead us into temptation. Moses, I told you he wasn't going to work out. Moses, I told you, well, that manna wasn't going to be have enough fiber for my diet. I told you, Moses, that that water of the rock was going to give me sugar diabetes. I told you. I knew this was going to end in tears. They roamed that desert for 40 years. A three-day walk. Took them 3 days to get across it, and they took 40 years. And they call that the Great Exodus. And then you come right back into a whole generality where then you find yourself back into bondage, back into slavery, back into a less than place, back under the slave taskmaster one more time. And we are saying that we have a dream. One day, that the delightful, delicious fruits of the Spirit that can come forth and can be engaged in your human flesh, however weak your human flesh can contain that very sovereign power that was spoke of from Ezekiel in the beginning, that went all the way through, that all the prophets, major and minor, brought back to bring you into this place of the day, just like today. Not a day different than just like today. That power is available to you, and the only reason you're less than is because it's your choice. That's what we were talking about. That's what we were trying to get you in the notion, that it was all right to come into your place of power. That exodus could take place, but you didn't have to remain in bondage. If you put yourself in bondage, that's how free you are. That's how sovereign the God you serve is. Will let you be in bondage. And as you come out of that bondage, oh, what a relief and a delight and a delicious place this is. That all the angels are standing in abeyance. And if you don't start learning to recognize your power and praise God, you, then the rocks are going to cry out. The rocks are going to start crying out glory and honor. That's the day. That's the day. That's the day. If you don't come into your power, this earth's going to come in a place where it's going to be the residual resistance of all the power that you won't receive. And those that are going to push against it, they're going to find themselves crossways of that power. And that's the last place you want to be. You don't want to be there, you see. That's what the dream was about. That's what the dream was about. The dream that everyone could be happy, that you could find your happiness, that the wars and the rumors of wars could fade away, that you get so busy pleasing and delighting yourself that all the delicious wonderment that is your place of creation is just that, your place of creation, that you won't have to be bound. There'll be no bond or free. They'll all be God's in His image. You have no problem quoting the scriptures that you're created in the image of God, but you sure don't want to take the responsibility of the power that was imbued in you. You certainly lay that down and put it off on somebody else. You don't have any problem running everybody else down. You spend all day, every day, talking about everybody else and what's wrong with them and their problems and this problem and that problem, but you can't notice the pitchfork sticking out of your own head. You run all day up and down the road trying to figure out every dynamic of why they're less than and why they took away from you, and they got too much and you can't have enough. Well, the sooner you get over that, the better it's going to serve you all. Oh, I had a dream. I had a dream that one day you could come back into a place where you could come into your notion that there is a dynamic that was already given to you. Everybody's running around looking for the secret, trying to figure it out. And the secret is that you got it already. There's nothing you got to do. There's nothing you got to act. There's nothing you got to embrace. All you got to do is lay this problem, toil, strife, and derision that you created in the process of your own feeble mind that eliminated you from your place of power. And that's what we had. And yes, we had a dream. That dream was all about the coming in the place where you could find your place of bliss. Real live, heaven-based bliss right here. And then we quote the scripture, we have no trouble, that it'll be on heaven. Jesus said, if you don't know how to pray, you pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus was trying to tell you, if you don't know how to ask, use these words until you can form your own. But if you know how to pray, pray. But if you don't know how to pray, use those words. They'll get you a long way down the road. It may be the Damascus Road. It may be with a flash of fiery lightning. Or it may be the Emmaus Road, where you're walking with a Savior trying to explain day and night every detail, every dynamic. You don't have to be Nicodemus hanging in a tree, ashamed because you're a tax collector and not allowed to come into this crowd to even be in the presence of God. No, that's where Jesus was. Nicodemus, come down here. I'm going to go to your house and eat with you tonight. What? No, Jesus, you should go over to the house. Them Sadducees, they're the head of the church. You should be in their big houses. Their wine is fine. I'm just a tax collector. They don't think much of me. No, Nicodemus. No, see, your soul is safe. Your soul is safe because you've been been tried and you wasn't found wanting. So I'll choose, as God, to spend my time with you. Nicodemus was thrilled. He was pleased. He was delighted. He was questioning his own worthiness. But once the Savior, once the Master's touch reached him, all of a sudden he was worthy. He found his power. Jesus saw him as whole. That's how it worked. And yes, I had a dream. I had a dream that all this incredulity that comes into this place, that divides and puts folks in their place for less than this, can all but fade away. Yes, it's very delicious, and don't you worry. The heavenly saints, they're rejoicing. They know. They know. They know. And the sooner you come into your place of power, the more you can know. And that the world may know will be the energy field and the force that we're speaking about. That's what this is about. That's what this is about, that you can find your place of power. And the sooner you get about the Master's business, the more the Master you'll become. And when you become the Master and you start walking in them steps of power, the world will bow at your feet. It has no choice. And whether they do or whether they don't, you don't matter. You're moving on down the road. And as you come into that delicious, wonderful majesty that is your place of power, what you came forth to engage in a marvelous creation on this planet Earth, that's when the heavens will rejoice more. That's when you come in. That's when there's a dream that's being revealed. That's when there's a magic that's being expelled. That's when there's no anomaly that's left outside your place of knowing or being. Oh, I have a dream. I have a dream. It will. It will. And as we easily go down this path and we slide across the River Jordan into the Canaan land, the land of milk and honey, oh, they may be giants. They may be giants in that foreign land of promise. Oh, there may be giants in that paradise, land of milk and honey. Locust and wild honey flow. But you can overcome them giants, because that's the promised land. That's the promise. That's the promise. Now, you'll choose, but oh, I have a dream that you can choose that wonderful place of paradise right here, right now, in your world. And if not, we say, why not? And if there's a why not, you can't come up with a better one, go with it till it can be, rather than be a question. Oh, how very, very delicious. How very, very wonderful. Ah, very good.
Oh, my God. That was... Uncle,
so, Mr. King, Jr., why did you commit suicide?
Well, it's the best way. It was the fastest way out. It was the only way out. To stay, you kind of had gone as far as you could go. So an assassin's bullet in Memphis, Tennessee became the easiest way to make it so.
Would you say now that then that was a rule that you had?
Well, it came from a place of completion, you see. Daddy King had been speaking about it for 15 years before it ever took place.
What was your relationship with Malcolm X?
Very limited. Malcolm X was sort of in the fringe.
Did any of your friends, Dr. King, contribute to your suicide or any of your close confidants?
The question is a bit outside now, but then you're asking about then. So if it's then, yes, there was a huge breakdown in the whole flow of this non-violent violence. You call into action with no action. That doesn't equate.
Did Jesse Jackson have anything to do with it?
Yes. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. Because, see, they turned coming into your power into a movement. See, it was a movement.
Did it go in the direction that you desired for it to go?
Well, of course, of course. And they're still roaming around the desert trying to find the promised land. They got so busy grumbling and bitching and complaining about what they don't have, they never noticed what they had. Had ever been a bit privileged in the world and still crying because they want a little bit more. I want a little more manna. Not even that manna wasn't fresh. I'm tired of this stale manna. I want the good manna. I'm tired of this. This is terrible. You know, we'd have been better off in Egypt's land. At least we had to make the bricks with straw and without, but at least we had the ability to get access to our own food. Ain't like Pharaoh was saying, here, I've made dinner, y'all come on a bite. No, they was having to create it to have the access to it. They turn and they say, you know, we'd have been better off in the bowels of the belly of Pharaoh than out here to die in the desert with God.
I don't know how to deal with this.
Oh, but dear, always remember, ask and you shall receive.
I still have this thing about your transition and why you transitioned. You said because you were complete?
Yes.
You were complete with what exactly? To me, if you're complete, meaning your physical and non-physical is complete, is one, then transition would be the last thing that would happen, in my opinion. But what exactly were you complete with?
Complete with the movement, the group, the crowd, the people.
Okay. Not
getting it. To stay, it would have just made more war. It would have just made more derision.
But that's not your responsibility.
That's wonderful, and that's why you're still in the physical and we transitioned, because apparently that wasn't clear then. It is now, but it wasn't
right
then.
But your rule was, if I stay here, there'll be more war and pillage and
more
on
death
and on and on. So.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Those that are here are making a movie of the movement and featuring it through their associate Abernathy.
Ralph.
Was he part of the reason why things were falling apart back then?
We could say yes, and don't forget Andy, he was right in the middle of it too. They're all jockeying for position. It was just jockeying for position. And it wasn't a problem. They were trying to see who was going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And all we was trying to do is to get them to lay down all this problem, this toil and grief that they'd hemmed themselves into, to the point where they could sort of relax about it a little bit. Instead, they was using it to jockey into position of who was going to fill the void, to who was going to run it. See, they're trying to get Massa out of the big house and then put Massa in the same place that they was in.
Andrew Young is in.
But you were the one that had to make the choice whether you were going to transition or go or not. They have no power over you.
Well,
that's
another
correct
thing, Kennedy's death was before yours. I guess his people feel like Kennedy's death and your death really, really put America backwards or made us come at a stance that we would have made more progress had you two leaders had lived.
No,
that's wrong.
No. Leadership is looked at in hindsight. If you hang, the longer you hang around, the easier they get crossways with you, dear. The longer you hang around, the more chances you got for them to get crossways with you.
So actually, when you and JFK left, that kept America not going into a real negative place.
Indeed. There are very few martyrs that die of old age.
Dr. King, from where you are now, how would you assess your decision to support and go in the direction of leaving Vietnam and getting out of that war?
Do you mean from the standpoint from now or from then?
Now.
This becomes a moment, as far as eternity goes, it's but a moment of contrast. No problem. Have you napalm for breakfast? It's the breakfast of champions. There is no contrast. There is but bliss.
Can you speak about that question back then?
Yes, indeed. It was the subjugation of black rights. Black rights. That was good enough to give your life for the war, but not good enough to be a citizen equal to everyone else.
That was the main contradiction that motivated your crowd behavior.
Yes.
Mr. King, what do you think of Mr. Ion?
Oh, it's delicious. It's non-physical that flows. And his exegesis of the scriptures is not quite as clear as ours. He sort of leaves off some of the good parts and he doesn't go into it all. The Acts of the Apostles gives you the roadblock of how to live. Well, they leave some of those things out, and then you go into all the letters to Galatians, Ephesians, Chronicles, James. You go into those details of the fine tuning of how the church was supposed to be. He leaves all that part to the side. Beyond that is absolutely as portrayed. He could give a lot more detail of what the kings and what the major and minor prophets were all about and how that flow came from the historical pinpointed references from the Holy Scriptures. But beyond beyond that, it's exactly as it's portrayed, yes.
Bob, you asked the question of what he thinks of Ion. Well, they're both in the Gup. They're the same. They are one. There's no contrast. There's no difference. How can there even be thinking of one from another?
From the standpoint of our place of being Christian, Ion is not Christian.
I don't understand how that is in the Gup. Once you go to the Gup, it's just all-knowing.
Tina asked the question from now when we were on the earth. Ed's question was from now when we were on the earth. Nothing has shifted that, so it's from our aspect as being a human creator in creation.
We talking to Dr. King's soul?
There's no time, so it was the time when the soul was attached to the body, yes.
No, but now, are you Dr. King's soul?
No, it's when the soul was connected to the meat sack body.
We're talking to that soul.
No, you're talking to non-physicals. They were clear in their askings. Their askings was from the human condition of us when we were on the earth, not from non-physical, because like you say, it's bliss. It's all going to work out. It's all good. We're good. But they were asking from the dynamics of what was it like then, and the syncing up with Kennedy, and the syncing up or effect of the Korean conflict and Vietnam, as Ed was asking. Not from now, from when we were on the earth,
yeah,
with a soul attached.
Right.
And that's the differential, because that's how you get to the details, you see. But you're right. After, from where we are, there is no difference, and all is well. But in the physical, if Ion would spend more time in the Acts of the Apostles and Romans, there'd be a lot less of this petting and playing and poking. And he'd lay it out there and just plain and say, you'd either swallow it or choke. There wouldn't be all this soothing, be easy. Oh, darling, we'll do it one more time. Oh, let's see if we can get to it. Well, yes, we've answered that question 9,018,214 times, but we'll do it once more because we will be happy to do that. Oh, see, homie, don't play it like that. If we lay it out, you get it or you don't. That's the main difference from then